Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. We've got a great show tonight. We've got Laura Eisenhower, and Laura Magdalene Eisenhower, I should say, and she's the great-granddaughter of Dwight D. Eisenhower, who we all know, and she's been a frequent guest on the show and has been on the server for quite some time. I think everybody knows who she is. She's talked a lot about the Mars missions and all kinds of covert operations, and she's been a voice for freedom out there in the airwaves. We've got some other things coming up in the show, too. I wanted to say Mele Kalikimaka, which is Merry Christmas in Hawaii. I am in Maui right now, and I don't know how to say that. I think it's Hau Oli Makahiki Hau, which is Happy New Year. So in the spirit of things on Hawaii, there's a lot of things happening here. I'm working with the Hawaiian nations and with different people in that movement and with the Shaka movement as well to ban the GMOs. Which is going pretty well, and it's going pretty good. So, you know, the people have voted. They're trying to usurp it with federal law, but it's not really working out that well. But the bottom line is when you go through the political arena and the people vote, and they voted a moratorium to stop the GMOs, and it's aligned with their constitution. And so that's an update on that. It did go to the federal court, and it got kicked to another judge because one judge was way too involved in the situation. He recused himself, and so we have another judge. So we're not totally out of the woods yet. People think we're out of the woods, and there's a lot more going on with this global reset. I mean, the reset's already done. We're not seeing the effects of it yet, and you know, the funds, money's going to go back to the Treasury. The Federal Reserve note is going to go kaput, and you're going to have Treasury notes that are going to be coming out that are backed by gold. So if everything goes smoothly, the only thing you're going to see is you're going to go to the ATM and you're going to see a Treasury note come out instead of a Federal Reserve note, hopefully. The cabal has a few other tricks under their sleeve, but so far they've been blocked and taken care of on every level. I haven't talked too much about this, but I got a phone call from the grandfather, the main guy. I don't want to mention too much more about that, but he wants to start bringing out the truth about what's really going on, where this funding is going and things like that, because there's a lot of misinformation out there. But we'll get more into that later. But without any further ado, I want to bring Laura on the show. Laura, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Hi, James.
Hey, it's always great to hear your voice.
Well, it's great to hear yours. Oh, my gosh.
And Dr. Dream, I got a short little interlude with him right before you came on the show, but let's give him a big hug for us as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know what Ashley's been setting up the radio shows and everything, and she thought it was real important that you give us a reflection of the new year, of what you see happening, you know, as far as the numbers and astrology and whatever else. So I'll just let you take it from there, and what do you think is going to be unfolding, and any other intuitive insights you have around that?
Well, I believe it's the year of the wood goat in Chinese astrology, but just to kind of jump into, you know, astrology based on Uranus-Pluto transits, because we've been dealing with them for the last couple of years. We've had seven major activations or so. The final one's actually going to be in March. Doesn't mean it's going to completely disappear off the map. We're still going to feel the effects, but the major and final blast is actually going to complete itself in the beginning of 2015, which is, you know, really nice, because it's been a little bumpy, and I think anybody and everybody can agree that even just the last couple months have been, you know, beyond intense. But of course, when is it ever not? But yeah, it's reached sort of a peak time. But this year's going to be great, because we've got Jupiter in the sign of Leo, and of course, that's going to hit everybody differently. But structured Saturn has moved into Sagittarius, and, you know, anything that involves Saturn, you know, always puts us in a process of initiation, and a lot of the planetary bodies do, because we're really here to go from the lower octave to the higher octaves, and if we're already in the higher octaves, it's really important to ground this stuff and bring it into practical reality so that other people can get those activations. You know, Saturn is a lot about rules and outer authority structures, false authority structures, and when we decide, you know, what rules we want to keep and what we want to discard, and we take it upon ourselves to be our own inner authority and responsible to ourselves and the collective, then we're really working with Saturn in a good way, and we actually help to bring this planetary body out of, you know, some of the higher dimensional timelines being hijacked, which has been the case. And of course, the warrior spirit doesn't accept defeat, and we're really building upon something huge for this next year, where we're kind of going into uncharted territory, but we're working with things on a very grounded level with Pluto in Capricorn and Earth sign, and also Jupiter eventually moving into Virgo. And Saturn will help ground Sagittarian energy, and that's really important because that Jupiter is so expansive and all about inspiration, and it'll be great to just, you know, be able to harness that and really work with it on a more physical level. Mm-hmm. So that's just sort of like a start. You know, Uranus and Pluto transits, the major beginnings of that really rocked people's worlds, and I think people are going to find that as we move into next year, it's like something huge is being unearthed. You know, the results of a lot of inner work, a lot of managing these sort of forces, you know, we're going to start to experience the rewards more. You know, our culture doesn't teach us how to work with Uranus or Pluto. Uranus is very much about shock and upheaval, which can cause people to really break down. And sometimes it takes years and years to put the pieces back together. Mm-hmm. But if we were taught how to handle these energies more, it offers us the greatest activation and the greatest epiphanies and awakening to what universal love and what real truth is all about. And of course, the prerequisite to unity consciousness is authenticity and being true to the self, and that's the journey of Uranus. It helps us to be true to who we are and embracing of our uniqueness, and then that helps us to enter into the unified energies, because how else are we going to unify if we don't first do that work, or else we're not unifying on anything but the old programmings and the old stuff that kept us divided. Yeah. And then Pluto is death, rebirth, alchemy, transformation, and of course we're not taught how to handle that. We go into death cycles, people freak out, and most of these energies actually cause a lot of people to run to a doctor or go on meds. And if we can really hold each other's hands and support one another through these initiations, these are the planets that are taking us much higher and into much vaster territory of what it means to be in higher earth energies. So yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Wow. I know the higher dimensional beings, you know, the Pleiadians, Andromedans, and the Orion Council of Light, and all these different groups out there that are working on our behalf, the Arcturians, they utilize these cycles, these natural cycles, in their work as well. And they've been talking a lot about this grid, you know, this old grid, the Archon grid, people call it the Draconian grid. Everybody has a different name for it. And they've been telling us that they've been very successful now on cleaning up this grid and getting rid of the darker forces on the higher levels of this hierarchical power, power and wealth system that we have right now, that's actually governed at the top by unseen entities that are very, very dark, you know. So anyway, they've been cleaning this up, and now the puppets, you know, the little Illuminati boys on the ground here are losing their directive. They're losing their ability to make decisions and things like that, and they're just floundering. Have you seen that as well?
Oh, big time. Dealing with a lot of attacks, and basically they're doing a really crappy job at trying to succeed in any kind of operation at this point. And, you know, we're very psychic, intuitive beings, you know, a lot of us, and you can't really fool us. And so, you know, as exhausting as it is to have to outsmart them on a sort of ground level, you know, on a spirit level, it's already, you know, taken care of. We just have to, you know, be present and allow these things to move through us and to, you know, just keep working the energy. And they're really quite desperate, and they're not able to really hide. You know, there's so much exposure. There's so much of this stuff that's out there that their tactic of secrecy and being able to have that as the ultimate way to dupe mankind is now slipping away. And I think people are really going to stop looking to government leaders, and they're going to start to look at the people that are doing the real work. I mean, when you look at like these banners, you know, with Hillary Clinton, I posted something recently saying this is a face that should be on America's Most Wanted, you know, like not somebody that people should be voting for. And, you know, it's like, let's hit the point home here. You know, there's people like Kathy O'Brien, who has been a victim to unbelievable abuse by her. And we should be reporting this. We shouldn't be voting for this. And I think, you know, there's going to be a lot more exposure. And I think people are really just going to find some level of integrity or some level of consciousness, so that they don't go down that artificial timeline and support things that are extremely dark. So yeah, I'm seeing all sorts of floundering, and I just see that it doesn't have the grip on people it used to, but we're still clearing off the decks, if you know what I mean. And, you know, people are still trying to emerge, and we just have to have compassion, even if they retaliate and take out the discomfort on us, trying to really just hold space for it myself, for these people to, you know, emerge and know that, you know, they're supported and it's understandable and it is tough. But we all have to be willing to do it, because anything else is allowing major criminal activity, and it's compromising, you know, the planet's ability to shift into these higher earth energies. But as long as we do it individually, we are on that timeline. But of course, we want as many to come with us as possible.
Exactly. Well, I know that the powers that were, I want to call them, because they are phasing out, have all kinds of tools at their disposal. And people aren't aware of that, that they're using HARP, they're using this plasma field that they've generated around the planet, they're using chemtrails to turn us all into antennas, and you know, they're putting some pretty pretty unbelievable stuff now in the chemtrails, you know, things that are nanotechnology that are morphing from viruses to bacteria to funguses, and a lot of people think they have a bacterial infection, and so they're treating it that way and it doesn't work, and they think they have a fungal infection, they treat it that way, it doesn't work, and they don't realize they're treating an animal that has the ability to morph, you know, even into a nanotechnology, and then create anything they want. I mean, I just think about the minds behind this. Like, what kind of pathological, you know, nutcases do we have, you know, running things, you know, on these levels that created things like this, you know, HARP and all these other technologies. And they have other satellite technologies that they target the people that are frequencies. Or you know, you get to a certain frequency, you become a target. They actually can pick you up and become a target. But, you know, I'm curious, have you heard anything about these things? I know we have to generate our own fields and become our own God selves or Christ selves, whatever you want to call it, you know. But I'm wondering if you heard anything about some of these things being alleviated or in the process of being taken out.
Well, I think, you know, it's just how we, you know, work on our own energy. And just like you said, I mean, we have to keep the vibration high. I mean, it's not always like high as in positive, but high as in, you know, grounded, aware, awake, you know, observant, you know, really paying attention to the energies on a moment-to-moment basis and handling the energies accordingly, because it is a frequency battle. And, you know, it is, you know, basically just a deep desire to control everything, that these things are even taking place. But a lot of them are fueled by the energy they siphon from us. So in my eyes, you have to buy into the programming. You have to fall into the bait. And the bait is what we see in the news. It's the false flags. It's the distortions of the masculine and feminine. And if we fall into that, and if we are functioning from that place, then we're still in a low density and we can't transmute or handle the toxins or the nanoparticles or anything. And that's where we're most vulnerable. We're all exposed to this stuff. But as long as we don't buy into the bait, you know, we can move in a different direction and actually counteract a lot of what these energies are doing. And so even if a person's specifically targeted, you know, there are ways to work with it. And, you know, sometimes I do really feel like I'm leaving my body, and I've been blasted the last, you know, week or two. And I was just ready to lay my body down and just say, okay, my physical really just can't handle this anymore. And it wasn't like a morbid, like, you know, I'm suicidal or anything, but it was like, you know, I really, and so I did a little thing about just being homesick. And then all of a sudden these posts started catching my eye about Hyperborea in the highlands of Scotland, and like, you know, just really opening up the fields to what we used to experience here in this earth plane. You know, we're on a multidimensional planet, and there's many dimensions we can bring in, but we have to first locate them within ourselves, because really this shift is about our own internal shift and what that ends up revealing and manifesting as it also thins the veils. And so it's a major time of attack, but, you know, we got to hold strong, and we're just moving through a very, very dense layer. But once we get to the other side of it, I think we're going to see that we've gotten over the worst, and now it's just a matter of rehabilitation and being supportive and really, you know, helping humanity and just our fellow brother and sister, you know, take it to the next level as we work on it ourselves.
Through
good nutrition and getting plenty of rest and all the, you know, the things that we sometimes forget are crucial.
Yeah, I mean, you're a mind reader, because that was my next question, but I'm sure we're on the same frequency on that one, but you know, I think people really need to get away from any processed foods, get away from, you know, any GMOs and all the chemicals around that. And we do have to clean up our body and, you know, go as green as possible is what I'm seeing. But, you know, so we can filter these things out, you know, and there's all kinds of ways of doing cleanses to get rid of the heavy metals and the other things out of our system and ground it, you know, get your vehicle in shape, you know, so you can deal with these other shifts going on.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, the core sun of this earth is seated as a, you know, ascension planet. So, you know, being grounded is, you know, the best thing we can do. We're really, you know, rebuilding and restoring the template of the tree of life, which of course has a root system and also, you know, it branches out into these other dimensions. And it's not about floating away, and it's not about blocking ourselves and allowing ourselves to stay in the box that we were born into, because that box is a joke. I mean, we're not 3D beings, and we've been taught that we can't venture outside of that territory without persecution. And we have a lot of past life memories of being, you know, offed for this, but, you know, just do it because there's nowhere else left to go. And what's the fear of death anyway? We've been there, done that, and we're actually lifting the veil between life and death. So we just have to be bold and don't worry about what others think, because that's going to raise your vibration too, is to really live from the inside out rather than the outside in.
That does seem to be the message. I know the Palladians, I asked them what their main mission was here, and they said to release the past and to help us, you know, clear out our own wounds and traumas from wrong conclusions from past experiences, so we can, you know, increase our vibrations to make this shift. And they're also doing it on the land itself, you know, changing the psychometry. I know the feline beings are working a lot with the grid, you know, and changing the grids, especially over Jerusalem and those areas where this old religious program is so entrenched. They're cleaning that up quite a bit. But the energies that they're working on, and then the Anunnaki that are returning now are benevolent. I mean, they're very extremely wise. They operate under universal law. And I asked them what they're here for, and they said, we're here to right a wrong, you know, and big recall is going on. So they're recalling the fallen ones, you know, that have created a lot of problems here on Earth for millenniums. But there's so many things going on right now that, I mean, there's such a front, a light front, you might say, that's happening by those who are aligned with Creator or Creatress, or I don't know what you call it, but whatever balance energy that is the main prime cause, or whatever you want to call it. But they've been telling me they've been working from the level of cause down, you know, because it goes from consciousness to light to energy to mass. And so they're coming down through the vibrational continuum, through the dimensions, cleaning everything up. And now they're working with the earth itself, you know, and just totally cleaning the earth up and the psychometrized energy on the earth to help it in its ascension process. And, you know, they're helping whoever chooses to align with those energies or seeks out those energies for help. Do you have any comments on that?
Well, it all just makes an incredible amount of sense. I mean, I think some people just think like the Anunnaki are all bad, and there's, you know, been quite a few factions anyway. And I'm sure some of even the dark factions are ready to, you know, kind of go home, and, you know, and we have to, you know, welcome that back. And then the ones that have been really holding the line for, you know, keeping the organic ascension timeline alive and, you know, working with the grids and, you know, all the grid workers and all the different things, you know, we're rebuilding architecture here. And so there's many different levels to it, but we're made of all these energies. These are creative forces that exist within us. And so this us and them, or, you know, good guys, bad guys, how are we running the energy within us? Because that's going to help what we invoke, what we're able, you know, to work with, and what we're able to empower, so that other people can see what's really going on here. I definitely, you know, been tracking and sort of following, you know, the Hyperboreans and the, you know, the energies that came into Atlantis and Lemuria, and, you know, where the, you know, angelic divine human lines were seated, and it's like that rising in power right now. I mean, we're the powers that be, you know, the powers that want to be, you know, gave it a shot. And I think a lot are returning home. And then there's many Anunnaki that are being revealed that have been on our side from the get go. And I just can't wait till people embrace that more, because it's always sort of this, you know, like this whole other thing. And it's like the enemy or something. And it's not, it's part of, you know, the rebuilding. We sank in density, and so there were watchers, and there were things that, you know, were here to assist us, and some, yeah, became fallen. And the galactic wars, even before that, were based on some of these fallen beings. But, you know, there's pieces of us in all of this, and we have to be willing to do that, and also recognize, you know, that it's that inner and outer thing, and, you know, what we choose to empower in ourselves is what, you know, we're going to help to do what's going on around us as well.
I love that Cherokee saying about the two wolves. You probably heard that one.
I love that.
Yeah, the two wolves are fighting and fighting, you know, and the grandson is saying, you know, hearing the story, and he's, and he, you know, the light wolf and the dark wolf are just fighting like crazy, and he asks grandfather, he goes, which one will win? And he says, the one you feed. So we do have that light and dark within us, and we need to realize we do have that side of ourselves, but we need to feed the light side, you know, to.
Yeah. And purify the soil too, because, you know, darkness, you know, loves to receive the seeds of our higher consciousness in order to birth new realities. And the darkness, you know, has been somewhat contaminated. And when we're not standing in our power, something else does. And then those end up being gatekeepers, and they end up being, you know, very toxic, you know, forces, just like we see in contaminated soil. But if we're willing to go into that zone and into the dark night of the soul and really do that work, then we purify the soil, and then the growth and the seeds we plant move at a much quicker pace than, you know, waiting months and months and years for seeing some sort of change, you know?
Yeah. I've seen a lot of people that are pretty toxic on this planet, you know, not to be in judgment, it's just a reality, but you know, when I look at the heads of Monsanto and the heads of the TSA and all these people, they keep changing, you know. But I look at these guys and I go, my God, why can't people see this? You know, this guy is not human. Something else is there. Something else is running this guy. And all my spidey senses go off. And if I walked into a room and saw that guy, I mean, I think the lion would come out. And I'd just go like this, like, you know, which I'd probably have to temper, but you know, I think with the vibrational lifting happening, you know, not to go biblical, but, you know, I love what Jesus said. He said, no rock should be left unturned, and all the iniquities will be shouted from the rooftops. And we seem to be in that phase, you know, the apocalypse is the great uncovering, and everything right now is being uncovered. And including what I saw recently is they're posting all the names of the Illuminati, the cabal, and their assets and their corporations and everything now. It's all coming out for anybody to see. And I think anybody that works for those companies should just, like, quit, basically. Just,
oh, I know.
Yeah, I'm not going to participate anymore and just walk away.
Oh, I know. It's like, what is the value and worth of it? You know, it, like, just to have money in this particular incarnation, you don't leave with that money. People are actually really selling themselves to it. I mean, it's different with the trauma-based mind control and the stuff that's multi-generational and what gets, you know, passed on from generation to generation. But the branches, lots of branches to, you know, the 13 families that are very just caught up in just the greed of it all. And there's a much greater wealth, of course, and we know that. And this earth is abundant, and she takes care of us, and the universe looks out for us and picks up most of the slack the minute we just devote ourselves to being on this journey. And you know, the rest actually really falls into place quite well. Lots of, you know, synchronicities and magic starts to flow with that simple shift and just that simple devotion. And it's not about being perfect. If it was, I think, you know, that would drive us all mad. And I think sometimes, you know, we lose touch with all of it because we think that we're not worthy or we're not good enough. But it's like, just devote yourself, because you'll get all the lessons. You'll be able to pay attention to the things that are necessary for your highest growth. And every moment of every day offers us something huge. And that's where the real teacher is, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, I agree 100%. I know that the benevolent Anunnaki, their main line is that we need to lead ourselves from our own hearts and souls. And they said they're not here to take anything. They're returning, you know, to help with the major cleanup and things, and to empower us, you know, to make our own personal God connection, which is really the main key, you know. I think, and a lot of people get upset at me for saying this, but, you know, I love the Ascended Masters. You know, I love Jesus. I love all the different programs going on, the higher dimensional beings. But a lot of that has been so twisted as an external thing, that some external savior or some external God is going to fix everything for us or take care of everything for us, which is the exact opposite of their teaching, which they're saying, make your own personal God connection and, you know, take responsibility for your creations and clean up your own messes is the message, you know. But I just see there's such a, you know, people are enslaved through dependency through their own belief system and a lot of these religions and things like that. And it looks like all that's kind of falling in on itself and imploding as well.
Yeah, totally. And it's a very organic process too, because I mean, it's sort of how the immune system works in the physical body. It doesn't really work on our behalf if we don't make subtle changes and changes to our diets and our lifestyle and just the way we think. But there's always that resource there that's ready to heal pretty much anything, and it's connected to us. And that, to me, is the same way we relate to spirit and how we're all working to unify, recognizing that oneness is diversity and harmony. You know, we don't have to all be joining in with a certain way of thinking or being. We just need to be true to ourselves. And in doing that, you know, the web of life on a human level, on a soulful level, you know, ends up really working, and we're just in this great dance, and we all get to play our roles, and we get to be who we truly are, but recognizing that oneness and that common heritage of where we all come from and what exists as a divine blueprint within ourselves. And, you know, it's amazing because, you know, Christ consciousness and just understanding that, doesn't matter what religion or walk of life or culture your background is, it's really just the commitment and devotion to be you know, on the path of self-discovery, knowing that we're all made of this. This is our ancient inheritance, but we've been dealing with a lot of the archetypal inheritances and a lot of the dramas and the fighting and the war, you know, energies. And once we rebuild and, you know, integrate and bring harmony back to those things, the Christ consciousness, you know, comes naturally, just like, you know, it's the magical child. When we balance our masculine and feminine within ourselves, it gives birth to the magical child. When we're not in balance, it gives birth to the negative ego, and that's a very Luciferian type energy. And of course, we're not going to call each other like Luciferian for slipping, but it does have that ancient story behind it of how the negative ego was birthed into creation.
Yeah. I know when I was down in Mexico, I met some beautiful people. I mean, this one guy I was working with that, he was studying with the shamans down there and everything else. And a lot of them are programmed. And one of the things that, and it's kind of unbelievable, but they actually believe that they cannot ascend until they take on a white body and reincarnate. And, and I went, whoa, I go, you're kidding me. And they go, no, I have to come back. And I said, and this guy's been studying with these shamans down there. And I said, they told you that? And he said, yeah. And the influence of the church down there and the other things is so ingrained that they're inferior and that they're not, you know, they're indentured servants or you know, it's so ingrained, it's unbelievable. And then, you know, I asked the guy, I said, do you believe in omnipresence? And he said, yes. Yeah. And I said, do you believe you're this body and this personality? And he says, no, I'm a spirit, you know. And I said, good. You know, I said, where'd your spirit come from? You know.
Yeah.
And he goes, I guess God, you know, the creator. And I said, exactly. And I said, so if you align yourself with your spirit, you know, why do you need to come down and pick up another body, be it black, yellow, white, red, doesn't matter. I said, it's your soul is the connector to source. And that you're going to ascend, you know, when you align with your soul and your soul is aligned with the source. I said, you don't need a go-between. You don't need a white body. You know, you don't need any of this stuff, you know.
And he's like,
yeah, and all of a sudden he just blew wide open, and he started having all these visions and started seeing the Pleiadians and all these things. And it was that one little thought, that one belief that was like totally suppressing him or holding him down.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's just so brilliant. You were the person he, you know, manifested on his path to just give him that little push, you know, right direction. Yeah, it's amazing, the belief systems. I mean, you know, nature is just the greatest teacher, because we get a direct reflection back, you know, about ourselves and about, you know, things that, you know, help us to find balance and help us to find real connection. And when we put a man or we put something between that connection, you know, it can get, you know, definitely in the way, because it's, you know, it's nature, but it's also how nature connects with spirit, just like how our soul connects with spirit, like you just said. You know, nature is like the soul of the world, connecting to, you know, source as a source embodied planet that's ascending back to those higher dimensions that are much closer in proximity compared to how far away we've gotten in this sector of the galaxy. But we're doing it, and what's great is I've never ever had fear or any doubts, but now it's like real stuff is really showing up and really hitting the point home that like this is really, really physically manifesting in a really, really obvious way compared to before, where it just seemed like, you know, it was glimpses. And even the last couple of weeks, as brutal as it's been, it's all been a necessary passage. And now it's like, whoa, you know, kind of looking back and looking behind just this very dark cloud. And, you know, we're all working it in our own way, but, I'm feeling really good about everything, and I think 2015 is going to really just be amazing. And I've just had a lot of my own personal growth of just really being a lot bolder, a lot tougher, and a lot less, in the heart where one's too vulnerable and too allowing of things that, you know, are harmful, you know, just because we want to be kind and we want to be open. But I'm really learning, like, wow, I'm really standing in my boundaries, like, in ways that I haven't before. And I'm so grateful, because I don't care if it looks tough. I don't care if it looks bitchy. It's like, I've been trained to, like, you know, life has taught me that this is completely appropriate. And at times we have to do that. So,
yeah. Well, you know, I'm with you there, because I, you know, people tell me, you know, in most cases, three strikes, you're out, and you give people 25 strikes, and they said, you know, and I'm learning that too, to set some boundaries and do what I know is true, you know, and is beneficial for all. And there are some elements and people that, you know, not that they're negative people, but they just have aspects of themselves they haven't dealt with that are just really getting in the way of forward progression. And you can't tie yourself up to those, because it holds everybody back, you know. And so I think, like you're saying, it's time for a little tough love. I love that saying, being a Christ doesn't mean being a doormat, you know.
Yeah, and, I love that.
Yeah, and you know, it is. There's a time when we are going to, and now's the time I see, especially with these lion beings coming in, and that energy, they don't take any crap at all. And they're like, but they're also really funny. I mean, they're very balanced, and these are 17-foot tall feline beings that there's a historical evidence of them in the past. You know, there's carvings and drawings, and India knows all about, they're the protectors of the gods, you know, that came in with the benevolent Anunnaki to turn things around. But it's amazing, a being that is that powerful and that strong, you know, and they're seventh dimensional, 17-foot tall lion beings are actually hilarious. Their energy is just amazing when you connect them, because they have nothing to fear, you know. There's no fear present there at all. But we were just hanging out with one a little earlier before the talk. There's so much help to let people know. I know a lot of people are getting really despondent, and they're just saying, you know, the world's going to hell in a handbasket and this and that. And I'm going, no, actually, it's going to heaven in a handbasket. The hell is what you're seeing now, because it's being pushed to the surface. But I said, focus on what is pushing it. You know, what is pushing all this stuff up, you know, and then you'll have some hope, you know.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, we're so on the same wavelength. I've been writing a lot about that. And, you know, and religion likes to keep that division of heaven and hell, but you know, I like to say we got to go right into hell and purify it and knock out the gatekeepers and knock out, you know, the things that, you know, hold our energies hostage, or, you know, the things that we allow to siphon off of us. I mean, we have to go into that zone, because hell is really the womb of the mother that's just been overtaken by these patriarchal forces. And it's existing within men and women. It's really about kind of, you know, wiping off the dust and, you know, really looking at what's really underneath it all. And then we rise in our power and we hold that darkness intact, and we're responsible to it in a way that you know, uses it as a power that you know, can be directed in a wise sort of way, not in a manipulative way, which we see. I think some people think that if you have psychic abilities, you must be spiritual, but there's all sorts of very skilled, crafty beings out there that use that power and not from a place of love. And now you know, there, I just know that there's been enough of us to really purify that zone, and you know, it's really helping us be in alignment with the womb, the earth, and the higher dimensional energies, which is really where we feel most whole, because all those archetypal energies are not at war. They're settled down inside of us, all getting along and hugging each other and saying, hey, you know, sorry about that. And also the judgments, you know, we can be so hard on ourselves. We need to be the fool again, be able to fall back, you know, fall on our face and get back up again and be okay with it. Instead of all this judgment on ourselves for this or that, or judgment on others, it's like, you know, the divine innocence and the magical child is a really important one right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. It's so important to get back into that Buddha mind, which is the childlike, where you see everything fresh, you know, without all the preconceived ideas and everything. And, you know, I always tell people, you know, if, you know, as far as leadership, I tell people, if you follow me, you're lost, you know, because you have your own soul purpose, your own unique purpose for being here, which is very important, and I can just help you clear away the patterns and blocks and things to help you make that. But, you know, I don't have, you know, the people that come out of my teachings are leaders, you know, I don't have followers. I won't allow it, you know.
Same. And it's so funny because, you know, somebody was kind of sharing their disapproval about the way I handled the situation. I said, if you even need to say that to me, that means that you're probably looking to put somebody on a pedestal and I'm the wrong woman to be doing that with.
Yeah.
You know, like, find your own message. If it's that important for you to go out of your way to make such a huge deal about the way I handle pretty much anything, you're getting, like, out of yourself. You know, you're getting out of your own center. And that's really what I'm here to do, too, is really empower the individual. And not, it's just so refreshing to hear you say this. And I know, I've always known this about you, and I've always just really appreciated it, because I come from the exact same place. You know, don't put me on a pedestal. I'm not here for that. I'm here to help you be the best you can be. Yeah. That's what I signed up for.
Yeah, I always tell people, you know, I'm not infallible. You know, I'm doing the best I can, like anybody. My intentions are always pure, but just doing the best I can, you know. But I, you know, burp and fart and just like everybody else, I have a human body, you know, with programs in it, you know, that I'm getting rid of, you know, and working on, you know, taking to the next level. But you know, the thing is that I always try to come from the heart, and I always try to come from service and, you know, do something that is, you know, in an impeccable integrity. But, you know, it just doesn't matter it doesn't matter who you are. I love this one yogi said. He said, you know, it doesn't matter if you don't say anything, and it doesn't matter if you talk. Either way, you're going to have the mud slung at you, you know. There are people out there, and we're not here to make friends of everybody. We're here kind of to shake things up. I know Sonia Barrett, I had her on the show. It was really funny. And she was talking about this birthday party that she was having. And so her boyfriend or whatever, I'm not sure if her husband or boyfriend, I think it's a boyfriend, but he was saying, I really want to have a birthday party for you and honor, you know, your birthday and everything. He said, give me a list of your close friends, you know? And she sat there and started, she goes, crap. She goes, I think I've lost all my friends. She goes, I could talk about them on one hand, you know, maybe one hand, you know. She said, since, you know, I've been on this path, she goes, I'm not making a lot of friends. She said, I'm actually, you know, by just speaking the truth and saying what needs to be said, not what people want you to hear, you know, you end up losing a lot of friends. But you know, I always think about it too. I said, well, I have bazillions of friends. They're just not here on the earth.
You know? Yeah, right? Totally. Oh my gosh. I can so relate to all that too. It's very small numbers. And it's like, yeah, you know, the networks are pretty big, but you know, when it comes to quality friends and people that, you know, you can really talk to and just be yourself with, those numbers are very, you know, small. And I'm just grateful that I can consider you one of, you know, my friends. And it's just funny. It's like, it's not what people, you know, think, and it's just so great that people know how important it is to fall back on the self and the old paradigm of, you know, guru or, you know, prophet or whatever is really sinking into, you know, the self, you know, awaken those energies within yourself. And yeah, there's going to be hands to hold, and there's going to be people that are going to support you when it's very difficult to find that within. But that's ultimately where we're all heading, and we got to be real about it. And yeah, I'm not perfect myself, and I'm doing, you know, the inner work all the time, and I'm processing deeply, and I'm grateful for that, because you know it keeps me humble and it keeps me, you know, very watchful and responsible. And but you know, I'd rather be transparent about my humanness than act like none of that exists and carry some facade.
Yeah, because that you know, that's like your true defense is being authentic and being yourself. And if you're trying to be somebody else, then you've got all kinds of chinks in your armor, you know, for them to shoot at, basically. So, you know, it's just like, I always say that once you reach a certain level, I know the near-death experience has helped me to do that, is that you actually realize that you're actually nobody, you know, there's nobody to defend and nobody to argue with and nobody. And when you get that centered into that loving detachment, you know, I just listen to people, and then, you know, spirit will say, okay, intervene here, you know, say this here, whatever. And it's not always what people want to hear, you know, it's what they need to hear. And you know, if people want to grow, I'm sure there are people surrounding you that really want to grow and go forward, and to them you're an incredible asset. But there's other people that want to remain in their comfort zone, that don't want to go forward, and you know, and they're going to do all they can to make you wrong. You know, it's amazing.
Oh, it is amazing. And I'm really getting good at, you know, not getting dragged into it. And I even declared it really loud and clear. I'm not going to let social media drain me. You know, when somebody tries to hook me in and just sort of like wrestle with me like that, you know, it's just, you know, I'll block and I'll come back if my intuition tells me that that person is actually, you know, not a troll or somebody who really does, you know, care. They're just having a hard day. But like in that moment, it says I need space from it. And I'm not going to be dragged into these dynamics that completely zap me of my energy just for the sake of what, either trying to prove myself or trying to make it clear, you know, what my intention is. It's like, you shouldn't care that much about me to begin with, number one. And number two, you know, it's something we're all holding hands with. There's no hierarchy, you know. Yeah.
I hate to go into this subject, but there is you know, we're getting attacked constantly by this guy, Michael Horn, which is the...
I know him, yeah.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And he keeps making these statements that, you know, we're on drugs, we're a bunch of hippies, you know, I don't do drugs. There's no UFOs at the ranch. There's no activity there whatsoever. And that Billy Meyer is the only true prophet of God and the only contactee on the planet. And he just vehemently attacks all the other UFO researchers, even crop circle researchers, you know, where they said all crop circles are hoaxes and everything. So anyway, I finally, you know, people think I'm really upset or angry because I'm blunt, you know, right. And I just spelled it straight out. I said, you know, for you to say that Billy Meyer is the only true prophet of God and the only contactee is the most disempowering message I've ever heard.
It's such a contradiction to whatever it is that he's trying to make a point about. It's like right there, you just shot yourself in the foot, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, you're already lost all credibility on that one. And then he just, and the only way he can respond is through character assassination and slander and things, which he's very good at. But I always bring it back to the point, you know, I just said, well, you know, just making that claim, you know, I said, answer the question, stop evading. Do you believe this? And finally he said, yes. And I said, well, then there's not much more to talk about, is there? You know, but they actually believe that. And, you know, there's contacts been happening since the beginning of time. I mean, our ancestors were all ETs and we're ETs.
I know.
I mean, how can anybody claim an exclusive, you know, on it? It's just mind-numbing that people would actually join that group and pay up to 20% of their income, you know, to this group. And then he accuses everybody else of being cults, you know, and I go, God, everything you're accusing everybody else of is what you yourself are doing. You know, it's like,
oh my God,
it's unbelievable. But you know, I just let him rant. I let him rant for a while. And then sometimes I'm guided, okay, just go drop a bomb, you know, and I'll step in there and just drop a bomb, you know, in some of the forums, you know, that he's in, and just nail it and just say, well, there's not much more to say. You know, you know, I go, there's, you know, triple PhD Boeing engineers, Lockheed Skunk engineers, all going on record, you know, Air Force base commanders, pilots, you name it, you know, have been to the ranch. I mean, you guys came to the ranch as well and got to experience, you know, the energies there and what's going on. So anyway, but, you know, it's just unbelievable some of the nonsense that I get, but not just from him, from others too as well. I mean, I've had, you know, colonels call me and say, how dare you, you know, you're misleading the people, you know, if there are UFOs, I would know about it, you know, and this like that. And I go, so you're outside of the loop? And all of a sudden they get quiet, you know, and I said, I mean, you're a colonel and you don't know what's going on. You don't know about all the secret space projects and the Mars bases and everything else. And all of a sudden they get really quiet. And then finally he goes, well, we just want to catch one of them, you know. And I go, you're not going to catch one. I said, forget it. You're outgunned. You're out, you know, thought on every level. I said, you might as well. I said, in the interest of national security, I think it's wise to make peace with these beings and make them allies, you know. And, and he said, you know, he said, I'll think about that. That's what he said. That was the last thing he said. But I said, that's not, I said, you know, when you talk about military intelligence, how intelligent is it to fire on beings that are thousands of years ahead of you in technology and evolution? I said, that just doesn't make sense to me, you know. And but, you know, they have a program and they're running that program. And you know, it's like going after a lion with a pea shooter. You know, you're just going to piss it off eventually.
But, I mean, can you just imagine just how amazing it could be just to have, you know, councils and just to have, you know, real diplomacy and to really, you know, crack the Mars thing by really understanding what's going on with the indigenous cultures and races and what they've, you know, scene. And I know you've had Captain K on, or Randy Kramers, who's become, you know, one of my best friends, and we, you know, talk all the time. And it's just like, my gosh, you know, 17 years on that planet, you know, at battling, you know, these beings. And, you know, it's just amazing, like, what we need to consider. And it's just also how we use technology. It's like that selfishness and that sort of instant gratification, and not, you know, slowing down the process a little bit to work on our soul development and our spiritual development to really unify, is where we keep going wrong again and again. And it's like, I just know that, you know, everybody deep down probably cares about the same thing, you know, family, loved ones, you know, just, you know, having a little peace for oneself to just build a homestead, or just to, you know, be able to, you know, have a sanctuary on some level. And we can all have that for each other. We can all help each other to achieve that. And it's time to, you know, end these galactic wars. And you know, everybody says as above, so below, but I like to say so below, as above, you know, as below, so above. You know, the changes we make here can change what's going on out there as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've had those options as to which group to align ourselves with, and we've made some bad decisions in the past and kind of aligned with the wrong ones. And I think if we would have made the right decision, you know, then, back then, we wouldn't have these galactic wars. We would be part of a federation, and they would be take care of that in a much more efficient manner, much more diplomatic manner as well. But I think on the inside, the people that made those decisions in the past now realize that they did make a very bad decision in the past, and it wasn't in our highest and best good. Do you know anything about it? Are they realizing it's time to align with the more benevolent ones, the spiritually and technologically advanced ones?
Yeah, I mean, I think some people realize that there's really no way to win this, and some of the things that were probably promised to them for being on that side, they're not probably going to get, and very likely they could just be exterminated because they're not useful anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, those people are freaking out, you know. And then we're dealing with a lot of really well-intentioned people that have had patriotic programming, that were convinced and told that what they were aligning with was for the greater good of all, and it was going to help humanity. And I think they're recognizing that those agendas aren't really helping anybody. And we need to take care of this planet. We need to get the technologies in the right hands to be able to address all the things going on here. And running off to another planet's not really where it's at. I mean, that agenda did start off benevolent, and it started off, you know, pretty darn good. It was not a bad idea, but, you know, infiltration and the elitists and a certain mentality of service to self ended up, you know, completely taking over. And then major wars ended up happening there. And I think a lot of people are recognizing, like, hey, you know, we can't play this role anymore. We're going to have to either join in, or I think that there's a deep cellular fear that they're going to be recycled back into space dust if they don't, because where else are you going to go? You know, it's like, what, you're going to stay a gray alien and like keep the life cycle alive through abduction and taking genetic material, you know, and that's what the life cycle is going to be, rather than be an advanced ascending being that's, you know, advancing in abilities. It's like, we have that choice right here and right now. And with the time travel and some of, you know, the grays showing up saying, hey, look at the future timeline and look at what we're trying to repair in our race for making these decisions. Yeah. I think a lot of the beings that would have turned into grays are saying, hey, we don't have to go down that timeline. We can actually become something different. And I think major changes are happening just with that shift of perspective, without it being about the selfishness of hoarding the technology and using it to enslave or using it to, you know, police this particular dimension. This dimension is busting open into its multidimensional body, and there's no stopping it. You can't put a lid on a volcano.
Yeah, exactly. I always say it's a pressure cooker, and the heat's on, and the more you push the lid on it, and the more you tighten it, the bigger the explosion is going to happen eventually. So, you know, you can't stop it without some major relief valves in there somehow. But it is getting interesting. You know, I'm feeling really good. I know I talked a little bit, and I can't say too much about this right now, but I've talked with a lot of the global reset and the currency reevaluation, and I know the benevolent side of the Chinese factions have actually taken over the Federal Reserve and the IMF, as well as the World Court. And I know the Illuminati boys are going to the World Court and trying to say, hey, we want out, we want to file bankruptcy. And they're going, nope, you know, you made the deals, you're accountable, you're responsible for them. So, you know, you're going to have the legal consequences if you don't make good. And they can't. I mean, there's no way they can, you know, you can't get blood out of a turnip, you know. So, I mean, that turnip of humanity has been squeezed so hard, there's nothing left. And I think people are just done and realizing it. So, So anyway, I feel really good about the shifts from the top down that are starting to happen, and I'm just really hoping that, as it was told to me, you know, I'm hearing different stories, and I'm seeing money going to different projects, which I know, which in the past were really screwed up. I don't know why they'd be getting any money at all, but I'm really hoping that this funding goes from the bottom up. You know, that we take care of the poor and the hungry and the third world countries, and not turn them into cities, you know, but just get their basic needs taken care of.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and with all the technology and how it's being, you know, misused in order to create, you know, this massive division between the elitists and everyone else, you know, while there's, you know, incredible, you know, suffering and poverty going on. I absolutely agree. It's like we have the ability to really take care of that. And, you know, and the quicker we address this, you know, the less likely a timeline we don't want to see, you know, get solidified. And I know that that is just fallen away. I mean, it doesn't have a root system now, you know, because people are, you know, unplugging and plugging into, you know, the earth again. And, you know, even the Kabbalistic Tree of Life showed how humanity has divorced itself from nature when Doth moved from the root system right beneath the divine pair. And it's like, now I feel like, oh my gosh, we are actually regrounding it. And we've recreated that root system, and it's an individual thing. And then of course it ripples out, and people just naturally, you know, shift without even realizing the hard work that's been done to, you know, make sure that this happens. And that's fine.
Yeah, that's absolutely, I agree. Fine. I know some people that took some classes from me, years ago, and they hooked into the highest levels. You know, they hooked into Andromedan energies and things like that, and actually had past lives there and reconnected. And there's so much energy coming in. When I see these guys, I go, how you doing? They go, all I'm doing is grounding. I'm just grounding right now, and you know, to keep anchored here. And he goes, what we're finding out is the more grounded I am, the more I can be functional here and help, you know, and help out. And he said that, and that's what I'm seeing right now, is there's so much energy coming in. We need to learn how to ground it, you know,
definitely
stay functional on this level.
Oh, totally. It's a really fun challenge. It's definitely one of mine, is to just, you know, be grounded. I mean, when one's in nature, you know, that's a little bit different. But when we're, you know, waking up in sort of neighborhoods or where smart meters are, it takes a little bit extra. But as long as, you know, one gets away from it all and it's right exactly about the Andromeda, you know, galaxy. It's like the Milky Way is returning to the Andromeda galaxy, and grounding into the Andromeda galaxy is actually where the higher Earth energies exist. Mm-hmm. And it's not, you know, something we float away into. We have to stay grounded to really experience it, and so that the cells of our physical body can, you know, withhold all the incredible energies coming in. And it's our divine energy that, you know, is going to be inhabiting the space instead of all these programmings.
Mm-hmm. You know, I know we're coming up to the end of the hour here. We've got, you know, just 2 or 3 minutes left. Do you have any, you know, any special messages right now that you're working on? Or also, too, do you have any events that you're going to be speaking at or engagements?
Well, there's some expos coming up. I know the Conscious Life Expos in February. I don't have the exact date in front of me, but another expo, the 13th annual in San Mateo, California, is going to be April 24th to 26th. There's also an alchemy event, I believe, in March. I don't have my website updated, but I'm going to be, and I would just, you know, check that out. As far as messages, I mean, we covered so much, and it was just like the best conversation. It completely uplifted me. So I just, you know, that's really the message, is everything we shared, and, you know, really to celebrate too. You know, it's like, you know, we did carry a lot of the ascension codes, and those codes, you know, were carried through the pain body, and now it's like through the energy of celebration. So lighten the load, and like, let's celebrate. It's really time to just really, you know, come together. And it's not that we were ever needing to suffer, but we had to recognize the pain that needed to be healed by not being in denial about it. But now it's really, to me, a time of celebration. So happy New Year, everybody. And thank you, James, for having me on the show.
Oh, you're welcome so much. And definitely, you know, it is a time, you know, I think it's a really good time now to just write down, you know, the things that you're dealing with, you know, and just do a little release ceremony, you know, and burn it if you need to. I mean, don't burn your house down, but, you know, burn it, release it, let it go, and then write down the things you do want to experience, you know, in the new year, and do a little ceremony around that. Whatever works for you, you know, do some prayers and And I always tell people, you know, pray it forward, you know, do prayers for others too, you know, and their well-being. It's amazing. You know, if we,
oh,
you know, it's a time for, you know, getting back into unity consciousness and, you know, into service, and then everything's going to go fine.
Oh yes, absolutely. And I just match that intention and that vision for all. It's so important. Those ceremonies, mm-hmm. definitely, especially.
Well, I can't wait to see you guys again. I'm sure that's probably going to be coming up soon. But anyway, have a happy new year, and thank you so much for coming on the show, and give Dr. Dream a hug, and we'll talk soon.
Absolutely, and much love to you and to everybody, and we'll see you soon for sure.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, everybody. Looks like